tells this bit that we've just read, how great is the darkness. If the facility of the eyes no longer enables you to see, nothing about your body sees. You can't see the blue of the sky, can't see the green of the grass, you can't see people, your friends. Maybe if you were not born blind, you could just remember what they were like the last time you could see, and maybe you have spoken to them. But if that faculty of seeing, our bodily eyesight, is put out, Jesus is right to say, how great is that darkness? And of course, the Lord Jesus is talking about blindness of spirit, blindness of soul. If it is that which should be there to give us understanding, spiritual understanding, faith and grace, if they are put out and we do not understand about the Lord Jesus, we do not understand about God, we do not understand about the Bible, how great is that darkness? Now, bear in mind how great that darkness is, will you look at John 9 with me? Jesus had healed many blind people, but this man who was born blind, had never heard of anybody born blind being made better. Now, he may have been wrong, but it looks here as if this was the only case or the first case where Jesus healed a person that was born blind. There is a great emphasis on the fact that he is born blind. In verse 1, the evangelist John tells us, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples accepted that this man was born blind. His parents accepted, verse 19, that he was born blind. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. And in verse 32, the man himself, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? There is good scriptural stress on the significance of being born blind. You see, if things overtake you, if you get things wrong with your eyes, diseases in your eyes, you do have the memories. You may recognize certain shadows of your friends, but a man born blind has no idea what people look like, what he himself looks like, what trees look like, what the lake looks like that maybe he can hear the water, what the heavens, the moon, the stars, the sun, what they look like. He can feel the sun. But what they look like, he is in total ignorance. And in this chapter in particular, and in the Bible, we are taught that by nature, in spiritual things, we are born blind. And the reason that the Lord Jesus said that he was born blind, this man, was so that the works of God could be made manifest in him, so that Jesus could make him better. And if all of us as human beings are born blind by nature, it is that the Lord Jesus might reveal himself to us and that we might be saved, we might be healed, and we might believe. The disciples asked a very common question. If things were terribly wrong with you, you've only got to read Job. But if things were terribly wrong with you, they believed that it must be because you've done something wrong. Who did sin? This man? Silly question in a way. If he was born blind, when did he sin? Where did he sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus denies that whole doctrine, that whole approach. This man hasn't sinned, nor has his parents sinned, that he was born blind. Rather, it is that the works of God might be manifest in him. So we who are born blind are saved so that the works of God through Christ might be manifest in us. Verse 1 says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. I think I used to imagine, without really thinking about it, that Jesus just walked on and the disciples carried on the conversation about whose fault it was. But obviously Jesus stopped. You've only got to read it carefully and you can see it stopped. He's doing this to prove, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he was here in the days of his flesh, he was the light of it. But he was only in one place at a time. The only light there was here in this particular place then. But once he left the glory, that light of the world was diffused. And when Jesus had said this, you see, obviously the blind man was right there. Maybe he said this to the blind man. As long as I am in the world, he'd not seen Jesus, couldn't see, and he didn't know quite who it was at first. He says to this blind man, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now think what that did to a man born blind. He's talking to somebody who says he is the light of the world. The implication is that this man born blind might have light. And so when he's thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And the next bit is very interesting. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, a blind man looking ridiculous with clay all over his eyes. Did he have someone to help lead him on the way? And there yet is something that only Jesus can do, but something if the man doesn't do it, it won't happen. And there we are taught how to balance as best we can the things that only God can do for a sinner with the things that we must do, namely believe, namely repent. She said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And John makes the particular point of saying that there is significance in the word Siloam. It means sent. Who sent who? Does it mean that the Lord Jesus was sent by God into the world to meet this man at this time? Or does it mean that the Lord Jesus sent this blind man to go and wash? Don't know if he washed altogether or just smooshed his face. But these wonderful words, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Absolutely vivid, just like the opposite in the Gospel of Luke, Lazarus and Dewey's. the rich man died, was buried, and in hell. Three words, you've got a whole picture. Died, buried, in hell. Much more wonderful here, you've got these lovely three words. He went his way, therefore, washed, came seeing. Isn't that lovely? Wonderful, he washed and came seeing. So he trusted, he believed what this man had said to him. He believed that he was the light of the world. He became, therefore, a believer. And with that belief went a great deal of joy, because now he could see. But at this point, it would appear that he hadn't met the Lord Jesus. We read later, the Lord Jesus found him. So Jesus wasn't the first person he saw. But can you imagine the newness of everything that was going around around him? He could recognize people's voices. Now he could see what they looked like. He could see his parents. He could see his friends. He could indeed see the Pharisees. He could see the countryside round about. And all the people there were saying, well, is that the same man? He looks very much like him. But yes, it is the same man. And when we've been born again by the Holy Spirit, we are the same people. We look very much like it, but we are the same. We're born again. We're turned from darkness into light. We understand the most significant thing in all the world, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Well, they got talking to the Lord, to this man, and he gives testimony. This man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and came seeing. Oh, he says here, I received sight. So impressive to him. Doesn't take much description. I went, I washed, I received sight. When you hear the gospel, do you go? Do you go away and believe? Do you go and be baptized? Do you come as a living believer into the life of the church? See it? Well, they said unto him, where is he? One thinks that they wanted to interrogate Jesus. But the man rightly said, well, I've no idea. So they brought this man to the Pharisees. And it wasn't long after he'd become sighted that he saw the downside of life. You would think everybody would be so excited for him. Time and time again, you would think that the Pharisees would be thrilled for the various people that the Lord Jesus made better. But because it was done on the Sabbath day, they were all grumps and scowls and saying that they did not believe that this was the Christ. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So we read that the Pharisees also asked him how he had received sight. So twice in the matter of a few moments, he gives his wonderful testimony. He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. The words just alter slightly. Came seeing, received my sight, do see. How thrilled he is. The thrill comes across. And I hope none of us ever loses the thrill of being born again. The thrill of everything being different. The thrill of everything being made new, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him we have eternal life. And in him we shall live forever. And in him we shall share his glory. Never lose that thrill. Never become world weary. Some of the Pharisees possibly said to one another, or possibly said in the man's hearing, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. No one ever kept the Sabbath day better than the Lord Jesus. No one ever used it for its proper purpose better than he did. Here is man's wisdom at odds with God totally. Others said, but how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? In other words, he couldn't do a thing that he couldn't be taught by a doctor, that would have to be an extraordinary gift of God. How would the most holy God place on a man who is a sinner such a wonderful gift? Well, that was the better reasoning of the two. And so there was a division among them. So once again, they interrogate the man who was blind. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? We've heard your testimony, but what do you really think of him? He opened your eyes. And the man said, well, he's a prophet. I expect he's referring to the words, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he says, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he was actually born blind. They thought this was all fraudulent now. They're trying another tack. I'm reminded of the expression they use now, conversion therapy. They're on the attack. Isn't it wonderful if this is the therapy that makes you better? This is the therapy that makes you well? If a man is put in prison for exercising conversion therapy, but the person who is treated has eternal life as a new and wonderful thing, what's that to be sad about? So they were opposed to him, but this man knew what he believed, knew what had happened to him. And you can tell from how he reacts that it was the most important thing in all his life. So they called the parents and they said, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? Trying to undermine, just in the devil's way, the things that they wanted to hear. But the parents said to him, quite honestly, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. That's fact. The rest we surmise. We don't know how he got better. We don't know who opened his eyes. And then this wonderful expression that said twice that comes into the English language. He is of age. Ask him. Don't try and involve us. Don't try and get us into trouble. They were afraid of the Jews of being cast out of the synagogue. They weren't converted like their son was. They didn't see this about the Lord Jesus. They only knew that if they were put out of the synagogue, they would lose certain privileges and they would be looked askance at by the population. So they tried another way. They called the man and they said to him, well now, why don't you give God the praise? Surely he did it. Give God the praise. But we know this man is a sinner. So you're on firm ground if you give God the praise and forget about this man. He said, well, what a wonderful thing it is that I was blind. And now I see. If he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't really care, but I don't really believe that he is. Will ye also be his disciples? From this point, the man who is made better not only witnesses a good confession, but turns on the offensive. He says, I've told you already, and ye did not hear, wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? What an opportunity. They could have all been saved, in theory. They're having the gospel presented. Here is a man who sees, telling them of his experience, telling them who did it. They could all have believed, though they weren't actually blind. And that's why what happens at the end, some of the Pharisees says, in fact, are we blind? We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. And then we have this man's full-blown testimony. Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. If somebody else had done it, what would you have thought about him? And so he says to them, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Maybe he's saying there that he'd long been disaffected towards the Pharisees, but tried to make sure he worshipped properly in his synagogue. I don't know if that's a reasonable deduction from that verse. Now he says, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And he gives it as his testimony, whether or not he's right. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Well, the scripture is the scripture's first example. It would appear that the others whom Jesus healed were not born blind. And then you see he's teaching these Pharisees who ought themselves to have testified to these things. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You ought to deduce that he is from God, because this is what happened. And now they are piqued. These are the intelligentsia. These are the men who supervised the Jewish religion and what could be done and would not be done. And you can see the anger, the emotional anger. Thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, but so were they. And dost thou teach us? You're an ignorant man. You're teaching us. Well, yes, if he's been made to see and they haven't. But of course they didn't understand it like that. So Jesus heard, don't know how, word got around, that they had cast him out. And then we have this lovely, lovely conversation between the man and his healer, the man and his saviour. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Note it's not Son of Man here. He's saying that he's done this on the authority of God. And that though he is a man, he is the Son of God. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The man thought that whatever the proper answer to the question, he really would like to believe on the Son of God. There was a work going on in his heart. He answered and said, Lord, who is he that I might believe on him? And with words just as kind as at the woman at the well when the Lord Jesus said, I that speak to thee am he. I know when Messiah cometh, he will teach us these things. And Jesus said, I that speak to thee am he. And these words are just the kind, except that the Lord says these wonderful things. Lord, who is he that I might believe in him? And Jesus says, do you know, you've seen him. With your newfound sight, on the very first day, you've seen him. Naturally, it was that same one that you didn't see who told you to go and wash, and you came seeing. You have seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. The Son of God is talking with you, and he has made you better on behalf of his Father by the power of God. And so he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And then at the end of this chapter, we come to the great darkness. If the light that is in us be sick or be ill, then how great is that darkness? If we are bereft of spiritual light, we are blinder than if we were blind. we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and remain blind and have the greater advantage by going to heaven. So the Pharisees, some of them began to understand that Jesus was instructing them from this incident that they were born blind. Or they could see physically. But they'd understood from what this man had been saying to them that they didn't understand as they ought to understand. They hadn't believed as maybe they ought to believe. Jesus said, for judgment, I have come into the world, that they which see not might see, but those which see might be made blind. Isaiah said things like this. So you have seen me make you better, but the Pharisees should have seen that I've made them worse. That they which see might be made blind. It's given them the opportunity to say wicked things about me, to say wicked things about the way I work on the Sabbath, that I'm not the Son of God. I've come for judgment into the world. It's still true today. It's true of our neighborhood, it's true of our district, it's true of our nation, that the Lord has come for judgment. It splits everybody into two, the sheep and the goats, those who see, who begin by seeing, well, they don't see. And those who begin and believe but sin not, they're brought to see. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So these Pharisees said, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you really were blind, then maybe there would be something to be said for your situation. But now you say, we see, therefore you are fully responsible. Nothing irks a teacher more than when the child says, I know, and won't listen to what he's being taught. Now you say, we see, and they didn't see, and Jesus would have helped them to see. Their sin remaineth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And though he is in the glory, these are still gospel days. And you may still receive the eyes of the heart and understand fully about the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and the way to heaven, that there is a life to come and there is a heaven. And it is all down to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe him, you have light and will be saved. If you don't believe him, then you'll be like the rich young ruler who went away grieved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And recognize that in spiritual terms, we were all born blind. You were born blind. And you need to believe the gospel. Amen.